Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you this morning. Appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. Real quick, I want to ask for, if you would, to please continue in prayer for the Swims family. For those who may not be on Facebook and have not seen, they had to make the decision this weekend to take Cooper off of life support. And so Cooper is with our Savior now. And so if you will remember that family, I would greatly appreciate it. We just finished what was, in my opinion, and I think many of yours as well, a very good gospel meeting. And before we go any further, I would be amiss if I did not say thank you. Thank you to those who came, who invited others, who brought food and a good attitude, and we just had a great time together. Cliff wanted me to express his thankfulness to you again. I had the opportunity to see him Thursday before he went out of town, and he had nothing but praise to offer for this congregation. And so I thank you for that. As a result, I think many of us maybe have a new zeal about living a faithful Christian life. Maybe a fire that was dwindling has been rekindled. But one of the dangers of a rekindled fire is the fact that it can go back out. When we see it so many times as Christians, an individual becomes a Christian, they're on fire for God. But days turn into weeks, weeks into months, and that fire that was so bright begins to dwindle, and then it goes out. Maybe someone responds to the invitation. They rededicate their lives to God. They're on fire once again, but those days turn into weeks, those weeks into months, and that fire begins to dwindle, and it goes out. We have a gospel meeting, as we just did, a change of pace that sets us back on fire, but those days turn into weeks, those weeks into months, and that fire that was so bright begins to dwindle and fade away. It's referred to as burnout. Merriam-Webster defines burnout as exhaustion of physical or emotional strength or motivation. It happens in lots of areas of life, but this morning we want to focus on it from a spiritual standpoint. Because it can happen to us as Christians. As we think about this idea of a rekindled fire and how we can keep the fire burning, three things that we want to notice together concerning burnout. We want to define it, understand what it is. We want to look at some of the things that may cause it. And then finally, we want to see if there is a way that we can keep that fire burning. Number one this morning, we want to begin by noticing the roller coaster of burnout. Life and Christianity can be, and many times is, a roller coaster. We all experience ups and downs. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the way life is sometimes. Some days we wake up and we're ready to attack the world. Other days we just as soon throw the cover back on our head and stay right there. Life is filled with ups and downs. The problem comes when we allow those ups and downs of life to cause our faithfulness as a Christian to go up and down. And we are all different in whether it's the ups of life or the downs of life that cause us to be unfaithful. Some become unfaithful when they're faced with difficult times. We've seen people who blame God for the misfortune in their lives. Friends, that's misplaced blame. Too often times we have a tendency, when things aren't going our way, to point the proverbial finger at the God of heaven. But friends, many times sin is to blame, not God. The fact that we live in a fallen world is to blame, not God. But there are those who face those same difficulties, and as a result, others come closer to God. Maybe they lose all of their possessions in a house fire, but realize what's truly important. Maybe an individual is faced with a life-threatening disease, but as a result, it wakes them up to their spiritual condition, and they get their life right with God. People respond to the difficulties of life differently. Some become unfaithful during times of prosperity. That was the case of the nation of Israel. You go to the book of Judges and over you see this cycle repeat. The people experience a time of prosperity, and as a result, they would forget about God. God would send a nation to oppress them, and as a result, they would cry out to God. God would deliver them, and for a time, they would be faithful to God. But during that time of prosperity, eventually they would begin to forget God again. And over, this cycle repeats in the book of Judges. But others come closer to God during those times, recognizing that it is God who is the one who has blessed them. The fact of the matter is, friends, brethren, we need to be faithful either way. Whether we're faced with good times or with bad, whether the sun is shining, the sky is blue and the grass is green, or the storm clouds are gathering, either way, we must be close to the God of heaven. During difficult times, turn to God instead of blaming Him. During prosperity, thank Him for what He is doing for you. Job stated in the long ago in Job 1:21, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now I realize Job was only half right on that occasion. But the point that Job makes rings true. Job in essence said, no matter whether it's good or bad, I'm going to praise God. Whether it's wonderful or it's horrible, I'm going to praise the God of heaven. Let's notice very quickly three examples of people who rode this roller coaster. You think about Noah. Noah, one of the giants of the faith, who having never seen rain, was told by God, "I'm going to flood the world." Noah built an ark. And Noah built that ark. Noah saved himself and his family. They got on that ark. The floods came. You know, it had to be a high point in the life of Noah to have been faithful to God, to have carried out what God had told him to do. The waters recede. They embark off the ark. And what happened? Noah gets drunk. Because of his drunkenness, some horrible events follow that. Noah experienced ups and downs in life. You think about Moses. Moses, the great deliverer. God's instrument in leading the people out of Egypt. Can you imagine Moses? And obviously it wasn't the power of Moses, it was the power of God. But as he stood there with the rod outstretched and watched the Red Sea part, as he led the people out of that bondage. But then later on, God tells him to speak to a rock, and Moses struck it. As a result, he's not allowed to enter the promised land. Moses rode that roller coaster. We think about Elijah, who we just spent a gospel meeting looking at in several respects. And the defeat of the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. No doubt a high point in the life of Elijah, as he was God's instrument to show that Jehovah was the one and only true God. But in the very next chapter, we see him in a cave, lamenting his life and begging God to take it. Elijah rode that roller coaster. And it's going to be the case in our lives, we are going to experience ups and downs. There are going to be times of great triumphs in our lives, and there are going to be times of great tragedies. But the important thing, brethren, is through all of that, that we remain faithful to the God of heaven. And that brings us to the second point that we want to notice, and that is the real cause of burnout. There are a lot of things that can cause us to lose our zeal for being faithful. A lot of things that can slow us down. A lot of things that can drain the batteries, if you will. A lot of things that can cause this fire to go out. I want us to notice three causes together. Number one thing that can cause that fire to go out is we let our guard down. We let our guard down. Brethren, let there be no mistake. Satan is looking for an opening. It's why Peter would write in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant." Some translations say, "Wake up, pay attention." Because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But you know, Satan's smart. We don't always give him enough credit in that department. I mean, don't misunderstand me. He's defeated. God's already won that battle. But that doesn't remove the cunningness of Satan. And he's not going to step out and say, "Hey, I want you to be unfaithful." It's not how he operates. He says, "Hey, you know what? You've worked hard today. It's just a Wednesday night Bible study. It'll be okay. Just stay home tonight. Hey, you know, you've got big tests coming up. A lot of things that you need to be studying for school. You know, that's where you need to focus all your energy. You don't have time right now to pick up your Bible and read it. You know, it's been a long week. You really need to recharge your batteries. Just sleep in this morning. There's no reason for you really to get up and to go in for Bible study and worship. You can catch that tonight." And before you know it, we've given Satan an inch, and he's taken a mile. We let our guard down. And Satan finds that opening to come in and to douse water on that fire that burns within us. One of the reasons that sometimes we burn out is we let our guard down. We let Satan gain a victory. A second thing that may cause us to burn out is we lose our focus. We lose our focus. How does a batter hit a ball? How does a wide receiver catch a pass? How does a hunter shoot his prey? It all comes down to focus. When I was coaching Reagan in softball, it's one of the things I was constantly telling the girls, watch the ball hit the bat. Watch the ball all the way in. One of the things that I can remember being taught when I was coming up playing ball was, your chin went on this shoulder, and when you swung, it touched this shoulder. What was the purpose of that? To keep your head in. To keep your eye on the ball. If you're throwing your head out here, occasionally you're going to make contact with the ball, but not often. All right? And if we're not focusing on Christ, if we're not focusing on His church, if we're not focusing on that road that leads to heaven, friends, we're not going to make it. Just as focus is necessary in so many areas of life, it's necessary spiritually as well. When we take our eyes off of heaven, we'll miss that target every time. And Satan wants you to lose your focus. He throws things in our ways to divert our attention. And it's not necessarily that they're bad things. He throws work in the way to divert our attention from God. School, friends, family, material things, sports, hobbies, all of those different things. None of them necessarily bad in and of themselves. But they can become bad if they cause us to lose our focus. We need to heed the advice of Jesus. In Matthew 6, 19 through 21, he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, I get the privilege, and I consider it a privilege, to sometimes be with people in the closing days of their lives. And you know, I've never heard anyone say, "Man, I wish I would have worked more hours." I've never heard anyone say, "I wish I would have accumulated more stuff." But I have heard them say, I wish I would have been more faithful. I wish I would have done more for the cause of Christ. I wish I would have shown the love that I had for others more readily than I have. Friends, that's not to lose our focus. Let's remember what's really important. You know the saying, I've said it before. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. If you're confused on what the main thing is, consult Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Solomon, as he's coming to the close of his life, said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. There was something that Cliff said that really rang true to me. Well, he said a lot of things that rang true, but this one stands out. He was talking about the most miserable people in the world are Christians who live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Friends, we can't live that way. Because it's a constant tug of war. It's a constant feeling of I'm being pulled in this direction, but then I'm being pulled in this direction. And which way do I go? I'm not a very limber individual. There's no danger of you ever seeing Justin Pascal do the splits. I can't even bend over and touch my toes without having to bend my knees. The splits, if you ever see me in that position, call 911. There's a problem. Some of us, spiritually speaking, are putting ourselves in that position. And it's no way to live. We're never going to feel like we're doing what we should, because we're not fulfilling our God-given purpose. We need to keep our focus on heavenly things. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, there's our focal point. Let's look unto Jesus and keep that fire burning. Number three, a third thing that can cause the fire to burn out is having a lack of love. Having a lack of love. In order to get you to be unfaithful, Satan wants you to have a lack of love. And maybe not necessarily even a lack of love, but a love that is misplaced. A love that is directed in one direction towards self and not towards others. Satan wants us to only be concerned with ourselves and not others and not God. Paul talked to the Philippians about the importance of looking out for one another and not having this all about me attitude. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, he said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. You heard the statement, I'm sure, a rising tide raises all boats. God expects us to help others to rise up. God expects us to love one another and care for one another. God expects us to be a family. Satan wants us to have a lack of love, because he knows where love is not present, a fire does not burn. While these are not the only things that can cause us to lose our zeal, these are three things that we need to avoid. We need to make sure that we keep our guard up. We need to make sure that we do not lose our focus. And we need to make sure that we have a love for those around us. Third and finally, let's notice the right cure for burnout. Thankfully, there is a cure for burnout. Medicine that, if properly applied, will not only light a fire within us, but it will keep it burning brightly for all to see. And that prescription is found in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" This scribe had been listening to Jesus, people asking Jesus questions, Jesus answering them, and he realized, you know what? This man, whoever he is, he's giving really good answers. The answers that he's giving sound true and correct. And so he approaches Jesus and he said, "What is the first commandment?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Friends, love is the cure. When we truly love God, and we're not talking just about a feeling here, we're talking about an action. Love is not just a feeling. Love is an action. True love shows itself through action. If we're talking just about the feeling, we're talking about something along the lines of infatuation. We're not talking about love. I did this in the youth class this morning, that, "Oh, I love him." That's infatuation. That's not love. Love is not just a feeling, it's an action. And if we truly love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, in other words, if all of our being is truly wrapped up in a love for the God of heaven, then friends, we have a constant source of fuel for the fire. Now that might raise the question, why should we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Why should we love Jesus in that way? Because God sent His Son. God was willing to send His only Son. Because His Son willingly came. I don't know what paradise exactly is like, but I do know this. When I get there, I ain't coming back. It's not going to happen. But yet Jesus willingly left heaven to come here. To come here to suffer. And to come here to give His life willingly. You know, at any point in time, Jesus could have said, "That's enough." After the beatings, the mockings, all of that, He could have said, "I'm done." But He didn't. He went all the way to Golgotha. He allowed spikes to be driven into His hands and His feet. And He willingly gave His life for you and for me. You know, really the question that comes to my mind is not why should we love God or Jesus. The question that comes to my mind is why shouldn't we? That's why Paul wrote in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your," here's our words, "reasonable service." Paul says, considering all that God has done for you, it is only reasonable that you give your life for Him. 1 John 4:19, John writes, we love Him because He first loves us. Friends, it all comes down to choice. It all comes down to choice. Like so many other things in life, we get that. Why am I not losing weight? Because I choose the Hostess cake over the kale. It's a choice. So many areas of life, we get that. And we don't get it spiritually. You want to live faithfully? Make a choice. Friend, make a decision. And then be fully committed to that decision. When Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain, he had with his Roman legions, he had come to conquer Britain. He took a very bold and decisive decision to ensure his success on that military venture. One morning, he ordered his men to march to the cliffs of Dover. And he commanded them that when they reached the edge of the cliffs, to look down at the water below. And as soldier after soldier marched to the edge of the cliffs and looked down, here's what they saw. The ships that they had used to cross over to come to Britain were all ablaze. Julius Caesar had ordered them to be set on fire, letting his soldiers know that there was no opportunity for retreat. Unable to return, they realized the only thing left for them to do was to advance and conquer. And friends, that's exactly what they did that history records. We need to set the ships that sail back to worldly endeavors on fire. We need to cut off every possibility of returning to that old man. And we need to set our minds on doing nothing else but advancing and conquering. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 31, 38, and 39. Friends, we need to make a decision. I need to make a choice this morning. You need to make a choice this morning. Are we going to live faithful? Or are we still going to straddle the fence? Nothing that is valuable in this life is achieved without effort. You think about anything valuable, important that you have in life, there was effort involved in achieving that. Fritz Kreisler is a famous violinist. He testified to that very point when he said this: narrow is the road that leads to the life of a violinist. Hour after hour, day after day, and week after week, for years, I lived with my violin. There were so many things that I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. There were so many places that I wanted to go that I had to miss if I was to master the violin. The road that I traveled was a narrow road. And the way was hard. Chrysler was fully committed to mastering the violin. And he understood in order to do that, it meant sacrifice. Why did he make such sacrifices? I would submit to you, it was because he loved playing the violin. I remember my Savior speaking of a narrow and difficult road. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. To borrow the words of Mr. Chrysler and adapt them a little bit, narrow is the road that leads to life eternal. hour after hour, day after day, and week after week for years, I've sought to live with my Savior. There were so many things that I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. There were so many places that I wanted to go that I had to miss if I was to live for my Lord. The road that I traveled was a narrow road and the way was hard. If we're going to travel that road, there may be some worldly things that we have to leave undone. There may be some worldly places that we never go. But friends, in the end, it will all be worth it. Let me ask you, do you love God this morning? I have no doubt if we went around the room person by person this morning and asked the question, do you love God? There's not a soul in here who would say, no, I don't love Him. I know that each one of us would affirm that statement, yes, I love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. Let me ask you, will you do that this morning? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, will you keep His commandments to become one? Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, turning from sin and repentance, confessing that belief before men, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Brother and sister, as you have faltered along the way, did that narrow way get hard and you decided, you know what, that broad way looks so much easier? Why not change course this morning? And get back to traveling down the only road that leads to heaven. Brethren, let's get on fire. And let's stay on fire until our Lord returns to us or until we go to Him. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we invite you to do that right now as we stand and sing.